It's good to see you tonight. I'd like to consider tonight some things from which man cannot hide. Number one, we can't hide from God. The record of Jonah reminds us that we cannot hide from God. It wasn't Jonah's choice to be in the belly of a great fish, but it was his choice to try to run from his responsibility that God had given him the task to go and preach to the people of Nineveh and encourage them to repent. And he caught a ship for Spain, basically. I think sometimes we think that we can run from God and run from our responsibilities. David was aware of the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. And in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, he expressed that. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." Now, when you read that, you might say, how can God be in hell? Well, God's not in hell, but a knowledge of God is in hell. I remember when Jesus told about the Lazarus and the rich man and how that he was in torments and how that he remembered the life that he had lived and he realized that his brothers were living the same kind of life and that just added to his torment. You know, there's no... Your memory is not wiped clean in hell. You'll have a remembrance of God and of His power and of His love that you experienced here on this earth in His creation. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Basically, what he's saying is there's no place to hide from it. Do we try to hide from God? People try to hide from God. People pretend that God does not see what they're doing, or hear what they're saying, or know what they're thinking. When the Word of God clearly says to us that He knows the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. We deceive ourselves when we think that we can hide from God and still be in fellowship with Him. That's the interesting thing about it, that we try to hide from God. We know we're thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing. We're saying things we shouldn't be saying. And we think we're still in fellowship with God. You need to let the Word of God reprove you and convict you and correct you. So what David was expressing certainly was a comforting thought to those who were doing what is right. God is everywhere that I am. I don't go anywhere but what God is not there. I'm never without God and His presence in my life. But it's a troubling truth to those who are doing what is wrong. You can't escape God. He sees it all. His eyes are in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. So set your heart, as we talked about this morning, on doing good. And do good. And abstain from every form of evil. We cannot hide from God. We cannot hide from His Word. or the things which God holds us accountable for, just like Jonah. There are things that we have chosen to do in this life that God has set the parameters for it and the responsibilities in it. Most of us here this evening are married. There are responsibilities of husbands and wives in a marriage. It's not our choice as to whether we're going to fulfill those responsibilities or not. We take a vow when we get married to love each other in sickness and in health, in good times and bad times. Bad times come in to marriages. Let me tell you something. God holds us accountable for our vows. Any vow you make before God, God's going to hold you accountable for it. And our marriage vows, He holds us accountable for them. In the workplace and in our friendships and relationships with each other, we have responsibilities to each other to treat others as we would want to be treated. So many times we find ourselves acting like the world acts rather than acting the way God teaches us to act. And we still think we're in fellowship with God. We're only fooling ourselves. Everything that God teaches us that is in accordance with righteousness, we are accountable to Him in that realm. Just like Jonah. Jonah was given a mission. He didn't want it, but it was given to him. When he finally fulfilled the mission, he did a crackerjack job of it. The whole nation of the Ninevites people repented. He just didn't like them. I don't know. Maybe we find ourselves in situations where we don't like people, and we'd just rather be separated from them. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want that. God does not want that. He wants us to love each other and treat each other the way we would like to be treated. And the way you do that, first and foremost, is get yourself out of the way. It's not about you. First and foremost about God, and then it's about whoever you're in the relationship with, whether it's your husband or your wife or the workplace or a friendship or whatever it might be. You need to be sure that you're always conducting yourself in the way that God instructs us to conduct ourselves, because He sees what is going on, He hears what is going on, He knows what we're thinking. So you better get your head right. Right, Meredith? That's the lesson she heard last Sunday night when we talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. Before Paul ever started talking about the armor of God, he started talking about getting your head right. Make up your mind you're going to stand on the foundation of the gospel. You're going to withstand when the evil day comes, which is every day. We're tempted. You're going to stand against the temptation. And having overcome the temptation, you're going to continue to stand on the gospel. And the sooner you make up your mind to do that, the happier you're going to be in this life. Because God knows what we're thinking. Let's be thinking the way He's instructed us to think. Man cannot hide from troubles. Troubles come. Because of sin, man has the potential to live a very troubled life. Many, if not most, of our troubles are the consequence of Adam and Eve's sin. We have the troubles of life because we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. That's why we have the difficulties that we have. But, excuse me. However, some of our troubles are self-inflicted. Some of our troubles we bring upon ourselves. David expressed a desire to fly away from his troubles. Psalm 55, verses 4 through 8, he says, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander off far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." Have you ever been where David is expressing all these? I'd just like to just leave all this and just go away. Why don't you? Well, I've got responsibilities. I've made a vow. I've got a contract. Whatever it might be. We can't run from our troubles. God did not teach us and does not teach us to run from our troubles. He teaches us to overcome our troubles righteously. And we need to be committed to doing His righteousness in our life in the face of our troubles. Instead, God gives strength to sustain us through our trials, allowing them to make us better people. As Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord." Don't run away from your burden. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Do you believe that? I believe that. I've trusted that. I've obeyed that. And if you'll do that, you'll experience it. God sustains us through His Word, through prayer, through association with faithful people, and through providence. He sees you in your trouble, and He will see you through your trouble if you will handle your trouble the way He teaches you to handle it. We cannot hide from our responsibilities. Although it is possible for us to neglect our responsibilities, we do so at the expense of our credibility with man and our fellowship with God. Jonah tried to run away from his responsibility. He neglected his responsibility. Didn't turn out so good for him. God was still holding him accountable, and He still holds us accountable. Say, "Well, I'm just not going to do this anymore." All right, it's your choice. God's going to hold you accountable for that choice. Jonah ran from his God-given task. Elijah fled from his work as a prophet. 1 Kings chapter 9. After his greatest victory, remember Elijah? Elijah saw the wickedness of Israel, and he came up with a plan to get people to return to God. They had gone off after Baal, and they were headlong into this idolatrous, fornicating, made-up worship. And Elijah says, "God, Why don't we do this? Why don't we just not let it rain until the people repent? God said, okay, let's do that. So it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And Elijah still wasn't ready to pray to have it rain. But God said, it's been long enough, Elijah. It's time for a showdown. So Elijah went to the prophets of Baal, and he said, let's do this, guys. All of you get together, and you build an altar over here, and place your sacrifice upon the altar, and then you call upon your God for the fire to ignite the sacrifice. And then I'll build my altar and place my sacrifice on it and call upon my God to send the fire to ignite and start the sacrifice. And whichever God answers, that will be acknowledged as the one true God. Okay, we'll do that. Didn't turn out so good for them. They built their altar, they put their sacrifice on it, they called upon Baal for the fire to come and to ignite the altar. Didn't happen. Elijah thought he knew what the problem was. He said, you know, maybe he's busy with something else and you need to, you know, speak a little louder. So they called louder. Nothing. Maybe he's on vacation. You guys just aren't sincere enough. You don't really sound to me like you mean it. And you must not sound to Baal like you mean it. So they started cutting themselves. We really mean this. Nothing. Finally, Elijah says, okay, my turn. He built his altar, placed his sacrifice upon it, went off, prayed to God, and God sent the fire. It consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the altar. It consumed the water that Elijah had drenched the altar in. There was no question which God was the one true God. The prophets of Baal were killed. Certainly, such a demonstration showed that Jehovah God was the one true God. No one could deny that. No one in their right mind. Jezebel she's a piece of work. And she vowed that Elijah would be as one of her prophets before the sun set the next day. And Elijah ran away. Elijah ran away. Well, you've got the queen after you. She's got soldiers that she can send to have you killed. Shouldn't Elijah have run away? Don't you understand why Elijah ran away? I understand. But I also would understand if he didn't run away. I also would understand if he stood. And he withstood whatever soldiers were sent to kill him. He ran away into the mountains and into a cave, and finally God came to him and said, what are you doing here? Well, I'm the only one who believes in you and trusts in you. No, you're not. I've got 3,000 just like you. You need to get back to work. Do you ever get discouraged? I think it's easy for us to get discouraged. But we have a responsibility to do. You know, you teach people and they don't listen, they don't love God, they don't serve God, and it's easy to get discouraged. But don't stop teaching. Don't back up. Don't retreat. Stand your ground. Stand on the gospel. And try to find the next honest and good heart that will hear and believe and trust and obey and serve God. God found Elijah, challenged his thinking, and told him to return to his post. We just need to stay at our post. Jeremiah grew discouraged in his work. In Jeremiah chapter 20, and verses 7 through 9, said, "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. God, you commissioned me, and I responded to it. I stepped up, and what has it got me? Everybody's ridiculing me. Nobody likes me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. I could not but say what needed to be said. When I spoke out, where did it get me? Everybody rejected me. Nobody liked me. So I said, well, okay, I'll just shut up. I'm not going to say anything. And he said, that didn't work for me because I knew the truth and the people needed to repent. Jeremiah had a responsibility. He said, I can't back up off of my responsibility. I'm going to speak the truth because only the truth is going to save anybody. And if nobody's going to be saved, then it's going to be on their heads. It's not going to be on mine. There are times that we grow weary of our responsibilities. But people of character stick with the task and fulfill their obligations. There are times that we get tired of the relationship, whether it's at work or a friendship or even in a marriage. But people who trust God and people whose character are such as I want to serve God and glorify God, they're going to fulfill their part of the responsibility with the expectation that God will be glorified in the relationship. We cannot hide from the consequence of our sins. We might think that we are hiding our thoughts from God. We might think that we're hiding our actions from God. We might think that we're hiding our words from God, but we are not. We will answer for what we do. In Numbers 32 and verse 23 plainly says, be sure your sin will find you out. Romans 2, verses 5 through 11. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, for there is no partiality with God. You're not an exception to the rule. A lot of times we deceive ourselves into thinking that, well, I know I'm disobeying God. I'm not doing what God teaches me to do here, but these are special circumstances. This situation is not like anything God has ever seen before. Certainly he'll understand. Now, God saw, he foresaw the situation. His way and his word still works. You just need to work it. Just need to work it. His word was made for your situation. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we're going to be. But if we choose to go our way instead of God's way, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. There is no place to hide from our sin and the consequences of practicing it. Ultimately, the penalty will come. The only proper way for us to deal with our sin is to admit it and seek forgiveness on God's terms. If one is a Christian, this requires repentance, confession, prayer, and forgiveness. Acts 8:22, Simon the sorcerer, 1 John 1:9, confess your faults unto him. Repent, turn to him, and confess your faults to him. We could put in James 5 there, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another. If one is not yet a Christian, of course, it requires belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. We cannot hide our sin from God. And if we know that we're thinking sinfully, acting sinfully, talking sinfully, looking sinfully, we need to repent. We need to turn from that and turn to God's Word and what He teaches us and move in the direction that He instructs us to walk in so that we might be to His praise and His glory. We cannot hide from God. Let's admit that to ourselves, and let us let that admission be the motivation for us to repent, to change, to turn from ourselves to God, to His glory and to His praise. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation of God, He invites us to come to Him, and we'd encourage you to do so. If we can assist you in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?